Hello and welcome to Season 8, Episode 1 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I am Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate tech community of people at all stages of their tech journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And here to share their stories with you is my co-host, Dan.
What up, Beck? How is it going?
It's going amazing. Dan, how's it going with you?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited about getting back into the podcasting thing. We got new season, whole new set of guests. And we are kicking it off with a maintainers podcast, which is always kind of fun to get the maintainers group together. And this episode kind of introduces our brand new maintainer, Julia.
Yay!
Yeah. We're very excited to have Julia on board as a maintainer for many, many, many reasons. And it was really great to sit down with Julia and Kirk and Becca, of course, and talk about lots and lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, it was great to be able to share kind of a little bit about the process that we took to finding a new maintainer. It did take a while. But for us, the important factors we're thinking about: somebody who's been active in our community, somebody who we know that invests time and who supports the mission of Virtual Coffee and who's willing to have conversations with community folks to continue to make this a welcoming and supportive space. So when we looked at our short list of folks that we thought might be a good maintainer for our community, Julia definitely stood out in being able to do all of those things. So we really appreciated bringing her in as part of our maintainers, but also hearing her share all of the different parts that helps to make our community strong.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad that we decided to do this as the first episode, because I think you'll hear evidence of all the reasons that we wanted Julia to be a maintainer. We're excited about her. She brings a lot of thoughtfulness and I don't know, good intent to everything. Good intent is a strange phrase, so I'm gonna walk away from that one. But like, it's just the way that Julia approaches different things, approaches conflict, approaches happy things, approaches all sorts of things, is both unique and like, I don't know. It's just, she's just like such
empathetic.
Empathetic. Yes, exactly. You know, and before she was a maintainer, she has helped many of our other members work through things. She's helped, you know, when some members were having conflicts or whatever, and nobody asked her to, right? You know, at all.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't insert herself, but would just provide opportunities for people to, you know, maybe reflect a little bit different on some things. And I don't know, she's great.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, in this episode and beyond Virtual Coffee, we think that culture citizenship is a really important thing. And what is culture citizenship? It's one of those things that helps us to define what makes a really positive culture for a community. And so whether or not you're part of the Virtual Coffee community, you're starting your own community, or you're participating in a current community, culture citizenship is one of those things that ensures that everybody feels safe, heard, and understood. And so we take some time breaking down what that looks for us in this episode of Virtual Coffee to ensure that we're constantly doing our best to make sure that this is a positive space for people, that it's welcoming for our current and future members of the organization. And we want to make sure that we can support not only our organization at Virtual Coffee, but other organizations out there that are starting or are trying to create a positive space for people, because we know that it's important to have positive spaces for people in tech and beyond tech. And this is one of the ways that we can do it. We start every episode of the podcast like we start every Virtual Coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, and what we do, and a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Our intro question today is, would you rather be stranded on a tropical island alone for a month or stuck in traffic for one day. My name is Becca. Woo-hoo. I have a new job title. I'm developer experience lead at OpenSauced from a small town in Ohio. And I don't like to be stuck in traffic for 30 seconds. So I'll definitely go to that tropical island by myself.
Hi, I'm Dan. And as always, I have questions. So yes. The traffic, is it like you're not moving at all, or are you moving little bits all the time?
You could be moving two different little situations. Bits.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's the worst, right? Because one time I was on a road trip with my friend, two friends down to Savannah, Georgia, and we got stuck in a traffic jam on like a bridge, but it was literally not moving at all. And we got out and played frisbee catch on the bridge on the interstate. It was awesome. If you're moving, like if you're moving little bits all the time, that's the worst.
What if you're stopped? Would you rather be on the tropical island if you were stopped?
I'd have to think about it a little bit more, you know, but like, I don't know. I mean, also, this is just like what happens with my life if I'm gone for a month, you know, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think I would, my responsibility, I'd have to just choose the day just because of kids and I suppose job and whatever, but
I feel like you're making me look bad now.
A tropical island for just a month sounds really awesome. Are there supplies on the island?
No.
Is it? Can you guarantee that there is stuff there to survive? Whether you have to like do it yourself, but like, you know.
There's definitely some water that you can drink and probably some leaves or tropical fruit that you can eat.
Okay, yeah. And like fish and stuff.
Probably. Maybe. There's definitely no toilet paper.
But there's leaves. Yeah, you just said, right?
Well, and like whatever body of water surrounds it, you can just
natural bidet.
You said it? I mean, not me.
I want to go with island, but like, you know, I don't know.
You're responsible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Being on an island would be sweet, though. I always wanted to try that, you know, like the Castaway thing. I always wanted to know, you know, just to know if I could, you know, survive it. So, I don't know.
Did you do the rest of your intro?
Oh, I don't know. I'm Dan. I do web development stuff, and I live in Cleveland, Ohio. Now I'm done. Kirk, it's your turn.
Oh, I thought we were going. If you're listening, you can't see this, but like in the Hollywood squares that we are, Julia's next and clockwise. I have so many thoughts on the incorrect things that Becky.
Why don't you start with your intro, and then you can tell us why we're wrong.
My intro is less important. My name is Kirk. I currently live in Alberta, Canada. I like functional programming. I'm one of the maintainers of Virtual Coffee. But the important part, so first of all, living stranded on is not far away from my actual life, really.
Minus the tropical.
I mean, you know, it's not that hard. You don't have to poop in the ocean if you don't want to.
I did not say you had to poop in the ocean, just to be clear.
Encouraged it as like option A for sure. And also, Dan said that story. Dan, you said you were with your friend. We're your friends, and we don't remember this story. So that story can't be true. Anyway, I would do unspeakable things to have to avoid traffic for even a millisecond. And I would happily return to a shop for a month. I actually did spend a week in like my dad's cabin, which had like no electricity, and just like an open tank for water for like a week before I went off to college, and it was fine. And
how to build cabins and open tanks from scratch, though?
Why not?
Person of many talents.
Is there a volleyball there that you can make friends with?
What? No. Okay, like,
you know, from Castaway.
You never know what's going to wash up on the beach.
Let's not let Tom Hanks' lived experience be the example that we all must live by. Okay, and then I'm done. This also reminds me of that episode of Naked and Afraid that was in fact filmed on my island, which is a hilarious episode because they spent the whole time going, it's so cold, there's no food, I'm alone. But like my island is literally the size of like Manhattan. Like you're like never more than 30 minutes away from a village and there's like food everywhere. Like none of that made any sense. So for those of you who ever watched Naked and Afraid on Discovery Channel, it's not true. Except the naked part. They are naked.
But are there clothes on our tropical island that you're stranded on? Well, I mean, like, are you wearing one set of clothes at least?
Why does it matter?
Well, I wouldn't want to be naked on a tropical island for a month.
I mean, you can wear your own clothes.
Okay.
You don't get dropped on there naked.
Okay, that's how I was just asking. I was just clarifying.
This is getting out of hand. Kirk, I just want to apologize to Dan's mom if she is listening to this podcast right now. I'm sorry how out of hand this has gotten.
Listen, inquiring minds want to know, you know, got to know all the parameters of the question before you answer it.
Well, I think it's my turn. I'm Julia. I am a developer educator and technical content creator. I work with developer tools companies. I live outside Seattle. And I really hate traffic. I think the only way I'd be okay with it is like if I knew I could get out of the car. That's one thing. We have a lot of drawbridges around here. And sometimes you get stuck with a drawbridge opening. And like I got stuck one time in the I-5 drawbridge between Seattle and Portland, or like right as you're going into Portland. When that thing opens, you're stuck for like 2 hours. While it opens and closes, like the whole interstate just stops. And that's actually fine. Like we blasted some girl talk and had a dance party and it was terrific. But that was only 2 hours and you could get out of the car. I mean, responsibilities, schmonsibilities. Point the tropical island. I don't even like tropical climates.
I only think of drawbridges in association of castles. So what I'm hearing you say is Seattle is filled with castles and you all just visit each other's castles from your castles.
No. But
incorrect, sir.
No, it's kind of, there's a lot of water. That's
what drawbridges are for. They're for castles. But alligators
are yours either. See, that's why I don't like tropical places. I choose neither.
I don't think that was a choice.
I'm only my home. And then.
You don't have to listen to Dan. He's naked on an island pooping in the water.
All right. You got to do what you got to do.
Okay. Well, now that we spent 9 minutes going through that scenario, you might be wondering, why are there 4 of us here when traditionally, we've had 3 maintainers, and that's because, yay, we've added Julia as a maintainer at Virtual Coffee. What does that mean? That means that the 4 of us work together to help look at the health of the community, the well-being of the members and the volunteers, and to make decisions about what's happening at Virtual Coffee. And so for this podcast episode, I want to talk a little bit about culture, citizenship, and what it means to be a good member of a community or a positive member of a community. And that goes into conversation about why we added Julia as a maintainer to begin with and how that process went. And so for us, we were looking at – there was a need to be filled at Virtual Coffee. And so we were thinking about, you know, how can we continue to support the existing members and who would be a great person to help us with that? And Julia has been a really active member of Virtual Coffee. She has been leading the tech interview study group every week, supporting members, hangs out in the co-working room, and is always very thoughtful in her approaches and responses to other people. And so it was really great to be able to think of Julia in that role and to know that she's somebody that we can have conversations with. And sometimes there's hard decisions to be made, or sometimes there's complicated things that happen, and to know that we could be open and honest with each other. So I just want to, first of all, thank Julia for all of the positive interactions and support that she's brought to Virtual Coffee since becoming a member. And then maybe kick off this conversation about what it means to be a positive community member.
Yeah, it's really great to have Julia join the Maintainers. And I mean, I don't know, we can talk more about like how the process went, like how that kind of works. I feel like, I don't know, one of the things I always think about is that VC is a very like, we try to be a very opt-in community, you know? So like the roles and responsibilities of folks here, it's like either folks are like, hey, I would like to try this thing, or I'm interested in this thing. So, you know, in like on the one side of like us being like, hey, we think Julia might be a really great fit for this role, it was also Julia being like, hey, you know, like I really like this space and this feels like one of the ways I want to be a part of it. Right. So that was, I don't know, that also feels like really important. Like at both sides, you're like, hey, we think this could be a good idea. We can make this work. And it did. And I'm super happy about it.
Well, so far.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. When's my first evaluation cycle? Like, well, what are my OKRs?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
No, we don't do those things here.
No. Yeah. If you think we have OKRs set up for anything,
if the first that's 9 minutes of this weird conversation didn't indicate.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take this in the direction of culture citizenship, because I know that's something that we all have talked about as maintainers in our conversation. And so culture citizenship, there's a section in our code of conduct about that. And so let's see, the beginning of it says, and we'll link this in the show notes, one of the many goals of this code of conduct is to strengthen our community, uplift and encourage each other, and to recognize the positive effects of our community on the industry as a whole. Well, like, let's start there. I feel like maybe we could break this down into separate conversations. So the idea of what are the positive effects of our community on the industry as a whole? What are we trying to do at Virtual Coffee that impacts more than the immediate group of people?
I think there's a lot of things, personally. I mean, sorry, I don't jump in, but like I was in today in Virtual Coffee, we were talking about in my breakout room, we were talking about mentorship and, you know, how to learn, and somebody was using or thinking about using code mentors or some sort of service, right, to basically help them learn, help them accomplish some tasks. And we were talking, and this was a new member who hadn't, this was their first time and hadn't been in the Slack. And we spent a lot of time just talking about our community and how we've like, how Virtual Coffee has like helped each other learn how to learn, you know, and learn how to, and especially along with that, learn how to ask for help and also learn how to give help in constructive ways. And I personally, just speaking for myself, I feel like I have taken a lot of those lessons over the last three years. Yeah, we're coming up on 3 years, right? Anyway.
We've completed 3 years.
We have completed 3 years. And that's what I said. And I'll just have my editor edit that out. No, just kidding. It's me. And we have, all right, I lost track of what I was saying. Oh yeah, my personal experience is I feel like I've become a better developer just from learning how to learn better, right? And learning how to ask questions better, and learning like what kinds of things can I ask questions about? At what point do I ask the question? What point do I how do I formulate a good question to get some help and or generate some discussion? And I feel like just as there's a lot of aspects, and this is the only one of them, but creating better developers honestly is like a way that we are you know, maybe having some positive impact on the greater developer community, and not just developers, but better I don't know, people. I want to, you know, we're not all developers, but I feel like a lot of these lessons apply to everybody, and so I don't know, That's my bit. First thing that jumped in.
Yeah, no, I think the idea of like better people, it's not just like a throwaway. I mean, the purpose of any of the work that we do in the end is about making people's lives better, right? Like what's, you know, the end goal of any piece of software hopefully has something to do with improving people's lives in some way. And I feel like that's not just an empty value promise. You know, it's not just marketing speak within the VC community. Like people really take that idea to heart, and it gets talked about and expanded on in a lot of different ways within the community. And I have to imagine that spills over into what people are doing in their jobs. You know, I've like with my background as an educator and like working in this sort of developer experience, developer education space, like I've worked with other VC members to kind of flesh out proposals for changing processes in their workplaces. And, you know, that kind of embrace those, like that shared value, those shared principles. And I think it's really good to have a community where people are actually talking about those things separate from like anybody who's worried about the budget or, you know, the performance reviews. Like having those conversations and seeing what other people are doing with those principles, like independent of your workplace, I'd like to think it has value. I don't really know how to be sure, but
what's interesting too, I think it was Mark Noonan who works at Cypress posted about where are the questions, maybe the intro questions that we use in virtual coffee. So I may want to be using these for my team meetings, right? And so even simple things like that, I think that there's value to be able to see like, hey, this is something that works in our community and I want to extend it to my other parts of other communities that I'm involved in. And one of the ways that I like to think of virtual coffee is there's this idea of like the ripple effect, right? Like you make an impact on someone and that ripples out to the next person and then they pass that on to the next person. And so if we can interact with each other very positively, if we can share a supportive environment, if we can help people understand what a positive space looks like, then that's going to continue to move out into the tech industry. So although we cannot support everybody being virtual coffee members, hopefully through that extension of our members into other communities, they'll still be able to experience that positivity as well.
Right. Right. Yeah, for sure. Like I think, you know, other communities that I'm involved in, other organizations, like even outside the tech industry, I reflect on conversations that I've had inside VC that inform like kind of how I relate to people or ideas that I might suggest in those communities too. So.
Yeah. And I think there's also like there's a real nice, like I was going to use the phrase value proposition, but that's not really it, but just, what do you call it? Like gut check. Like we have a lot of gut check moments where people come like, hey, I just started a new job, or like, hey, I'm going to have this conversation with my manager. Hey, I just had this conversation with someone in my workplace. Like, what is your take on this scenario? And this is one of the few spaces where I feel like I'm going to get like reasonable, meaningful responses, you know, and people will try their best to answer earnestly. And then everyone might not have like be in perfect agreement, but like the amalgamation of those things like usually puts me in like a better place or whoever's asking the question, you know, and folks can feel reasonably assured like this is a bunch of responses of like my best interest in mind. I can sort of take those and kind of go with it. So, you know, like we have the help and parent channel where people sometimes ask like very specific questions like, oh, I can't like get this div to div. But people also ask questions like, I'm about to have like my first performance review. Like, what should I expect? It's not only a place to like set expectations of what is maybe like the standard or usual behavior. It's also a place to set expectations of like how you should advocate for yourself. What behaviors like should, you know, like it's a great place to sort of establish like the right thing to do versus just like the thing that happens, which is a nuance that sometimes feels lost in like the greater tech world. Like people like, oh, well, this goes like this, which isn't the same as like, this is how this should go, or this is how it could go if everyone involved was like trying to act with more empathy to get towards a good solution. So I like the space for that. That feels pretty good.
Yeah. And I think another valuable thing that Virtual Coffee does that maybe some other communities don't do, and there's lots of other great communities out there in the world, but where, you know, our focus on intimacy and face-to-face interactions and, you know, our coffees, which are our like main, you know, obviously our main thing. I want to say that I feel like that is proving to people the importance of these kinds of effects, right? And lots of times, you know, people get too involved in like Slack or whatever, async communication, and all that stuff is important and valuable, especially on, you know, international teams of time zones and everything like that. But there is something to be said about the small interactions, these like intimate, you know, not just our coffees, right? We have our coffees in our breakout rooms. We also have like the co-working room, right? Which is another like little, almost like a little community inside our community. and lots of people talk about the co-working room as like one of the special things of Virtual Coffee. And Justin, one of our members, just made a co-working room setup for his company, and was pretty excited about that too, which is cool. And I guess what I want to say is like the importance and the value of these sort of interactions is something that's hard to quantify, and it's something maybe hard to explain, you know, but experiencing it is something different. And that's one thing that our community does really well. And I think another way that we sort of can make the greater world, you know, better, a better place for people is sharing this sort of interaction and sharing this process, you know, and letting people in the world try to practice it on their own.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. I know that we talk a lot about there's a value for community for every person. So we encourage a lot of people to find the right community for them. But then also understanding that there's a value for community for the entire industry. It benefits the industry when people find community and a sense of belonging, because then they can take what they learn in those spaces and they can apply it to where they are and the things that they're doing. The next part of the culture citizenship definition that we have, I really like. It says, if you see someone who's making an extra effort to ensure our community is welcoming, friendly, and encourages all participants to contribute to the fullest extent, please recognize their efforts. And that seems really nice because right now it is Virtual Coffee Community Kindness Month, I think. Because we've completed our third year of Virtual Coffee. We're moving into our fourth year. And that's one of those things that positive, recognizing the positive interactions, recognizing the people who are giving back, I think is a really important part of setting the tone for what a good community looks like. And so, you know, we're very, very thankful for all of the people who volunteer at Virtual Coffee in different capacities and who provide feedback and who are willing to talk us through different discussions and have challenging conversations with us. Because I think that, you know, even in the hard conversations, there's a lot of beauty and understanding that comes out of that, because we can work on listening, we can work on accepting feedback, and we can grow from that as well.
Yeah. I think it's also kind of an important distinction, maybe for people who are newer to the community. Part of, you know, I haven't used Code Mentor or one of those sort of paid spaces before, but I think it's really important to kind of continually recognize that everybody who's part of VC is doing it because they want to be there and because it is bringing value to them, but that we need to not take that for granted, you know? It's really important to acknowledge and show, you know, be thankful, you know, act proactively, kind of showing your gratitude to people. Yeah, I don't know. And I think about that particularly like with those hard conversations, that like part of being part of a community, it's like if you want it to be a better place, if you want people to grow, sometimes you're going to have to do a little work to help people grow, right? Like we grow through our relationships with others. If you're on the receiving end of somebody else's emotional work, like, it's important to acknowledge that and thank them for it and like be gracious about the work that they are investing in you and in the community. I'm kind of rambling, but I don't know. I think that that's something that maybe is not immediately obvious how important that is, I think.
Yeah. While we were talking about this and sort of like the earlier point, you know, like the difference between like hearing code mentors, it's really important that like the intrinsic value of like being a VC member is just like being a VC member. Like this is a space where, you know, as much as possible, like your worth is not determined by like how many lines of Python you write or like your industry experience or your job title or like, you know, any of that. You know, like as a VC member, you're like a whole and fully formed person, and like you as a person are the thing that like makes you like wonderful and valuable and appreciated, and like everything else sort of like, I don't know, the only sort of thing there is that, again, like coming back to the code of conduct and like trying to treat each other the way we want to be treated and like willing to have these conversations. And like, that's the gist of it. But, you know, it's one of the things that I appreciate the most about this community is that you can come in this community sort of wherever you are at, you know, and in that realm of like making an effort at like stewardship and making an effort at empathy and making an effort at like listening and understanding. And then, you know, like there's no VC member tier. You know what I mean? Like, and you're never going to like be evaluated here by like your productivity or by like, that's not the goal, which is difficult to find in like in other tech spaces, because they're usually so hyper-focused on a thing or a product or a tool or a lifestyle, where you find yourself like having these like architectures starting to be assembled. And then you end up in this place, which I think can be really dangerous, where like, I don't know, the word like, culture, stewardship, community, like, can fall by the wayside because we go like, oh, well, this person's good at this, or this person's like been here for a long time. And I think one of the things that like I've been trying like more to challenge myself on is like doing those objective moments of, you know, because I've been here for a long time, I have so much context that comes with me into like every single interaction, and you like finding ways to step back and be like, oh, am I actually making a good decision here? Or is this like the weight of my experience is like pushing me in one direction or another? And then always trying to come back to like, am I doing the best job for all the people involved in whatever's happening, including myself sometimes? But that's not a one and done, or that's not like a, oh, okay, I've nailed communication, I'm done learning, the end. That's never going to happen. And especially now, like membership is opening in, we do have a constant cycle of new members coming in, returning members coming in, different people interacting in different ways. And just like, it's really important to always have the rudder of what's the thing I'm going to try and use whenever I'm in this space to try and like make it as good as possible for all the people in this space. And like we always say, like, it always comes back down to, am I actually listening to the other person? I'm actually trying to understand the perspective that they're coming with. And like, am I willing to come in with the idea that like my stance might not be the best stance or the appropriate stance, or like I have something to learn here, you know? And that's not easy, right? Like that's not for free. That's not automatic, even though I think like we would like it to be. It would be nice if we could say, oh yeah, like my empathy meter is always on max and I'm doing great. But sometimes it's not. And that's just like being people. And I don't know, going all the way back to the start of this conversation where Julia was saying like, that's why I'm here. I'm like here to like practice being like a person. Being a person means like also being a person whenever we don't want to be. When I'd rather be like ChatGPT. I never want to be like ChatGPT. Begin.
When I was teaching high school, I used to sometimes say that like part of my job was helping my students learn to be people. And not that they're not people, but like they're not fully realized people. And yeah, sometimes I'd like to just be a teenager again and not have to like be fully accountable for myself. But the flip side of that is that I think, and this is part of what made VC so valuable to me when I first joined the community, which was a little more than 2 years ago, is like, this is a place where people really are valued for their whole selves. Like I found so many opportunities to give, even when I was like a rank beginner in the tech industry, there's still so much opportunity to contribute and teach and share and help. And, you know, if I think the flip side of that is like that we do want people to be like fully accountable human beings, like not act like teenagers. Not that there's anything wrong with teenagers, but.
Sure, there's nothing wrong with teenagers.
Yeah.
As a former teenager, I can see there are a lot of things wrong.
They're driving.
That wasn't terrible.
Driving.
Yeah. That's.
Well, I think, you know, as part of this idea of culture citizenship and all of the things that we're talking about, and in some ways, like we're in our toddlerhood at Virtual Coffee, right? And so like we are still growing. And as the community grows, things change. The members grow. There's new perspectives. There's new things that you need to understand, new ideas that you need to be sensitive to, or often good opportunities for listening rather than responding, which is something that I can say I'm working on. And I'm better than when I first started. But, you know, a lot of times there were things that I wanted to react to immediately. And I think like, you know, there's that growth that you have as there, you have to, you know, listen and be willing to understand different aspects of what people are saying to you. And I think that that's really important when we talk about this idea of focusing on the impact of our actions rather than our intent. And I think that's one of those things that can be really tricky to understand. Does anybody want to explain what that means?
I'll give it a try. I feel like this is, this is like one of the most important things. As Becca said, like we're 3 years in, storming, norming, forming. What's the fourth one? Performing? I can't remember. There's a whole thing about it. I did a class one. There's this being a bunch of people in a space, being a bunch of different people in a space, being a bunch of different people in a space where the like boundaries are like good communication, like good stewardship and all these things. Inevitably, you end up in a space where it's like, sometimes I'm having conversations, or I maybe always be having conversations where I probably think I'm right, but like, what happens if someone else doesn't think I'm right? Right? What happens if like most people don't think I'm right? Or, you know, what happens if like someone else is thinking wrong, but I still think I'm right? And like trying to navigate that. And, you know, just like for context before, it's like in our language, and whenever we talk about official VC language, there are a couple of things we always want to establish. Like we always want to have our documentation in a way that like makes it clear the values, like we're encouraging people to like try and like have it, like, but in a way that doesn't try and like suppress themselves, right? It's like, hey, these are things that are good for the group, and not in a way of like trying to squeeze your behavior into some narrow tube, which is like providing the guardrails to like just help a community flourish. And, you know, I don't see online, like virtual communities are very similar, just like IRL communities, in the fact that like you have to share spaces with people who may have slightly different values than you, but you still have to kind of make that work. And yeah, then getting back to sort of the question of like actions and intent, sometimes or frequently, I feel like almost all the time, like we have good intent. There are very few people who come in with bad intents. And one thing I like about this community, I can say like, I don't know, I can count on one hand the amount of times where I feel like someone has come into an interaction with bad intent. But for whatever reason, the actual action, you know, like was probably not like received in the way that they expected it to. And then what I tend to feel like, regardless of the side or the, like where you are in that conversation, there's always an opportunity for like, am I having this conversation in a way that like gets me to what I want? And typically the thing I want is like, I want this other person to understand my perspective and be able to receive where that's coming from. And sometimes like, it's very easy to do yourself a disservice in the way you do that, right? And I don't know, that's usually like, most of the time that's where like communication breaks down, where people either feel like I'm not being heard, I'm not being understood, or sometimes like I'm not being like empathized with, like, and I don't know, navigating that I feel like is probably the crux of human interaction, right? Like it's the thing like we try and teach each other all the time, and that willingness to be like, I don't know if I agree with this person in this moment, but, you know, like, I want to have the conversation that, like, brings me closer to understanding where they're coming from. And even if the ultimate idea at the end is that, like, I still don't necessarily agree with, like, what they're doing, but there's probably a way to get, like, why they're doing it, or, like, what are the themes or what's going through their mind as they're doing it. The other tricky thing that's been brought up a lot of times is, you know, especially as maintainers, like we spend a lot of time just talking to members, right? Members come to us and they tell us what's going on. And we always have this open policy where you can always tell us like what you're feeling, what you're thinking about interactions. What are your thoughts in this space? You know, like it's, I think like we try and be a safe space always for people to share their experiences and thoughts and feelings. A lot of times folks will say like, I'm not sure if I navigated this well, or I'm not sure if I did the right thing here. Or, you know, like very frequently, like, most, you know, in the coffees or on video and we're speaking, but, you know, a lot of VC communication happens in the Slack, and that's all text-based, and context is like super hard when it's text-based, you know. And the thing you sort of never get is like body language or people's emotional reactions, or just like where they're coming from the day. And there's a, I don't know, there's a bunch of things in there. And I feel like it all boils down to, we are always going to be trying to say things with good intent. If that is received negatively, like that's where like the actual conversation begins. Like, where do we go from there? And can we get this back to a good place? And sometimes like, well, can I get this back to a good place alone? Or maybe I need to ask for support. And that's another place where the maintainers can like be a great value and a great asset, you know? But always, always, always this idea of, at least for me, coming into every conversation with the person I'm talking to is a good and wonderful person. They have a need to communicate and like values that they want to share and express and be understood. And it is in my job, like it is in like, it's kind of like, I don't know, for me, my duty is one who wants to like keep this space as good as it is, to like recognize that and then use that as my lead into further conversation. Even if the conversation ends up being like, hey, this action like may not be in line with our community standards, or hey, this response may not be in line with our community standards.
Or even like,
yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this response may not be in line with like who, you know, how you see yourself.
Oops.
Like, And that could be a hard thing to say to somebody directly, but I think it's a I think it's an important thing to reflect on, right? That sometimes the things that we say and do, like, maybe aren't, maybe we, you know, I don't think we can expect perfection out of anybody.
Right.
I'm not perfect. You know, like, I've said and done things that I'm like, oh, shoot. But like, part of it is owning that. Like, when somebody says, hey, that hurt, being like, oh, shoot, that was not my plan. Like, you know, help me. And, you know, if you can help me understand why that was hurtful, you know, if it's not immediately obvious. And that's kind of what I mean about, like, if you want the community to grow, like, you know, I know that part of the conversation around, like, assume good intent, maybe being not a great standard, is that it puts the burden on the person who is, like, in the less powerful position. And so I think, like, the way to maybe handle that to some extent is for people whose intent is being challenged to be like, oh, like, now is the time for me to step back and, like, and act, you know, and sort of actively seek to remediate whatever harm I might have caused. Like, it's not that we expect people to be 100% perfect all the time. It's that we expect people to try to do better. And I just, like, in terms of simple strategies, one of the things I really like that, Becca, that you do is that you'll say, like, I don't know what I think about this right now. Like, I'm going to think about this and come back to this. And, like, we could probably all stand to do that a little more often. I don't know. Kirk, I did sort of cut you off. I apologize.
No, I think those points were great. And yeah, like, sometimes in a time where it feels like you're always expected to have a stance and a strong stance and an immediate stance on whatever topic may come your way, I do think it's very powerful sometimes to be like, I am not in the place, or I am not ready to have this conversation yet. And just, like, gracefully allow yourself that time to kind of get there. But yeah, the last thing I was just sort of thinking about in the context of all this, it kind of reminds me of exercise in a weird way. Like, in a sense, like, exercise is, like, being, like, sometimes uncomfortable for the sake of, like, long-term comfort. You know, like, when you finish doing, like, your muscles hurt, your legs hurt, it's like, but it's acute, and, like, that is assumed to be a good thing. Like, in the general scheme, like, that's a good thing. Chronic pain is bad. So a lot of times when I think about community interactions, you know, like, what's going through my head is not like, oh, there were no uncomfortable conversations this week, this was a good week, right? Because that's that's not the right frame of mind. It's like, oh, we had some uncomfortable conversations, but we navigated in them and, like, got to a good place. That feels good for me. Like, that's, like, acute discomfort that leads to long-term comfort, because then, like, we're now more empowered to have those conversations and everyone can feel safe having, like, I don't know. And this is, like, a very nebulous thought, but I always have this idea of, like, empowerment is, like, still feeling safety in moments of discomfort, you know, and, like, being able to, like, establish what is, like, long-term chronic bad and, like, moments of bad. I feel like I can deal with this moment of bad because the other people around me, like, we're all working together to get out of this, you know. It's like being on an island with a bunch of other people or being on an island naked by yourself and pooping in the water, you know, they're very, very different. But yeah, and that is, you know, like, the reason why the maintainers, like, we're having this conversation now is, like, as we've just collected a bunch of, like, surveys from the members and we've been having all these conversations, really, 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 like, putting the time into thinking about how we want the community to move forward as a community, what this good stewardship look like, what the support look like, this moderation look like, and all these conversations kind of come into play. And, like, the big answer is it's hard and complicated, but, like, one of the pillars is, if, for me at least, if we end up in a place where when a difficult conversation happens, there's not a moment of feeling like panic or loss of control for the people involved and like, okay, we're here now, but we can probably get out of here in a good place. That's what feels good to me. Not a space where no one ever does any difficult conversations, because I don't think that's possible.
And I think when that happens, you're losing opportunities to grow, right? Like, you're settling for not being uncomfortable. And one of the great things about being part of a supportive community is that you have those opportunities to be uncomfortable. You can fail and you can learn from that experience, right? You can ask for forgiveness. You can ask for feedback and to grow. And so I think that, yeah, sometimes it does get exhausting having those hard conversations, but like you're saying, it is valuable to have those hard conversations and to figure out how to work through them.
Yeah. And to your point, just sort of like, also one of the nice things about an online space is to, like, again, a lot of times, like, you have the buffer to choose when you want to opt in to, like, there's not always a sense of like immediacy, even though that's how we feel, you know, like, and it's okay to say, she like, well, I need to take a step back right now. Not because this is unimportant, but because this is important, you know, and I want to like come back when I can learn and grow from this as best as I can. And when like, I can like meet people where they are, and when I can empathize with other people, that's something I really want to do. I'll say this conversation, I'll mention a conversation I had once with my dad. My father is an interesting man, but one time he was like, you know, Kirk, you and your brother are so nice. Such nice guys. I'm not nice like you are. And I was feeling not in my most empathetic place at that point in time with my father. And I was like, no, man, we just try to be nice. Like, we're not, there's nothing magical about whatever it is happening, you know, like, it's just trying really hard sometimes to, like, even in the moments where I don't want to, still trying to maybe do my best. And if I can't do my best, I take 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, maybe I can do it in 5 minutes. And then maybe I can do it in 10 minutes. Or like, maybe I need to like eat a sandwich first. Many times I need to eat a sandwich first, you know, that it's not something that goes away. And I think, like, if you sort of like never choose to go into those moments, then you're kind of like opting out of some important things. But also in the context of all of this, like, we all have our lived lives and we all have our traumas and we all have our journeys. So it's also a thing that, like, I never want to like force on anyone. I just want to say that, like, I would like this community to be a space where it is a space where you can also do those things, you know, and feel like, even though it's hard in the moment, it's going to be like good in the long run. That is not what I told my dad. I had to apologize after.
I was going to say, that's a really great way to end this episode. Maybe it's still a really great way. Apologies are important and useful too. Does anybody else want to wrap us up in this conversation?
I don't know. I'm just imagining Kirk's, like, trying to say that. Try anyone trying to say that to their father. I feel like that's a tough dynamic. And that's like, maybe there's a place to wrap things up. Sometimes the dynamics between two given people, like, are kind of rough. And, you know, we're all here to help you navigate. And hopefully, you know, help people see the good in each other. And so I'm from a very quiet family. I don't know. We do a lot of not talking. And my partner's family is the opposite. And I remember the first time I like went to visit with their whole family there. And it was like, there was one piece of chicken left after everybody had eaten. And it was like, oh my God, people are going to come to blows over a chicken thigh. Like, what is going on? And I was like, I was really stressed. I was like, oh my God, I can't handle this. Like, I'm getting indigestion. And afterward, and I was like, you guys, like, it's going to be okay. There's more to eat. And people were looking at me like there was something wrong with me. Like, why is she reacting this way to like what was for them a very ordinary conversation about who had the right to the last piece of chicken? And like, there's no right way or wrong way to communicate in that situation. And like, sometimes you're going to get freaked out by the way other people communicate. And it doesn't mean they're bad people. And it doesn't mean they're actually going to come to blows over a piece of chicken. And it doesn't mean that they think there's anything wrong with your communication style either. Curiosity is really powerful. And I think in those moments where you like feel a little apprehension about other people, like it's good to try to turn that apprehension into some curiosity. And
that's the new podcast name. Can I do like one more call to action?
Yeah.
Maybe. So like one last thing, you know, as we're, it's like, if you're listening and like any of this seems interesting to you or important to you or valuable to you, again, like just super encouraging everyone, reach out to us, reach out to the maintainers. We're always looking for feedback from members. We're always happy to talk. I'm always happy to talk. And, you know, like we're really trying to like, in the idea that like we will constantly, like we will never stop trying to improve these things and make them better. So we're always open to hearing what people have to say. So it is never too late. Like, don't think you've missed your chance when the surveys are done to like talk to us. You can always talk to us and just let us know. And every single piece of feedback from any member here helps us make this a better space. My actual final thing is, Julia, that attitude of yours over that chicken is not going to help you on the desert island. You need
to I'm by myself.
Are you really? There's dangers out there.
What? I think I'm by myself. Becca, am I by myself?
Maybe there are alligators, I guess.
Just don't drink the water on the east side of the island.
Don't eat with your left hand.
Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the podcast. We hope that you found some value in the conversation that we had. And thank you, if you're one of our community members, for sticking with us.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrell-Weigel and edited by Ashley Mulder. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, buy some VC merch, and check out all of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.